The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peek, reading today from the May 23rd, 2025 issue of Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. In our first story today, the tune-in alert, General Hospital, Get It Out of Here, by Diane Brunstein. Big time fallout. On Friday, May the 23rd episode of General Hospital, the spoilers tease that the nurses' ball performances conclude and lives are forever altered, especially after Gio's outburst naming Brooke Lynn and Dante as his real parents, who dumped him. But before that is explored, Tracy is furious as she languishes the night away at the Port Charles police station. Someone arrives to deal with the angry power broker, and she yells at the unseen person, "Get me out of here!" Will that happen? Teasers go on to say that Mac is relieved. Surely that must mean he no longer has to deal with a ranting Tracy, right? Tensions are also running high where Drew is concerned. He seems to be enjoying fighting with everyone, but the woman he claims to love is tired of all the pressure and threats. "I want to end this terrible fight over the kids," Willow tells him. Will Drew allow that to happen? Elizabeth has had to miss the nurse's ball as she continues to recuperate from the car accident at the home, but she gets a welcome surprise. "What are you doing here?" she asks, practically laughing. Who has arrived and gotten her to smile again? Feeling the pain, Trina is worried, and it's a good bet it will be regarding her friend Gio. She knows what it's like to find out you've been lied to your entire life about who your parents are, and her heart must be breaking for her friend. She and Josh are talking when Lucy arrives and asks, "Why aren't you in your costumes?" Gio's other grandparents, the ones who were in the dark and who were not named Lois, compare notes. Olivia is a mess. Ned is barely holding it together, and Sonny has an idea. He tells them, "Lois has to know something. I'm sure of it." He is most certainly not wrong. Lois is going to have a lot to answer to when these three find her. Despite having put this whole thing in motion by her need to get to the truth, Lulu seems to regret the way it has played out. She turns once again to her cousin Carly for advice. "You need to get off the track before you get leveled," Carly warns Lulu. Also, spoilers reveal that Carly receives an offer. Away from the action of the nurse's ball, Jason gets a mysterious phone call. "What do you need me to do?" he asks the unseen person on the other end of the phone. "Share your predictions of what will happen next in the comments section. Check it out and let us know what you think." In our next story today, Who is Ariana on Days of Our Lives? Everything You Need to Know, by Chris Eads. Ariana Horton is back on Days of Our Lives, so some viewers might need a bit of a refresher on her history in Salem, especially since she's so different from the last time she was seen. The character first appeared in 2013 and was played by twins Harper and Sydney Udell until 2019, when Sydney Brower took over the role of the little girl. Lane Rosa then stepped in for a few appearances in 2022 before the character left the canvas. On May the 20th, 25, a teenage Ariana returned to her family in Salem, now played by actress Marissa Reyes. A dramatic start. After Gabby Hernandez had a one-night stand with Will Horton, she found out she was pregnant, and her boyfriend, Nick Fallon, wanted to be named the child's legal father. The baby's true paternity was revealed at Nick and Gabby's wedding, but Nick blackmailed Will into giving up his parental rights. Later, Will and his boyfriend, Sonny Caracas, rescued Gabby and Nick from a kidnapper, and Sonny helped Gabby deliver her baby in a shed on May the 21st, 2013. The newborn was named Ariana Grace after her aunts, Ariana Hernandez and Grace DeMira, and Gabby had Will named as Ari's father on the birth certificate. Ariana and Gabby moved in with Will and Sonny, so the little girl was raised by three parents, a family arrangement that further solidified when Sonny and Will tied the knot. Ariana lost her mother for a bit when Gabby was sent to prison for Nick's murder, and then, after her release, Will was tragically murdered. A grieving Sonny left town, and Ariana was left with only her mother until Sonny returned. Thankfully, Will was found very much alive in 2017, and though he was suffering from amnesia, he resumed co-parenting with the little girl. When Gabby was wrongfully imprisoned for murdering Andre DeMira, Will and Sonny lied to Ariana that her mother was working and couldn't come home right now. Gabby was cleared of all charges, but her release was delayed, and upon her return, Ariana was angry and cold towards her mother. In September of 2020, Ariana moved to Phoenix with Will and Sonny, but returned for a visit in December and remained in Salem, splitting her time between Sonny and Gabby after Will left town for work. In December 2022, the little girl approved of Lee Shin marrying her mother after he baked cookies for her, but she fell ill and spent New Year's Eve with Sonny instead of the wedding. When Sonny moved to New Zealand to be with Will in February of 2023, Ariana chose to go with him. All grown up, in May of 2025, Ariana returned to Salem all grown up and reunited with her mother as well as her cousin, Javi Hernandez, just in time for her birthday. And she didn't seem to mind when Marlena was the only one who showed up for the party Gabby threw. Discussing returning to Will and Sonny in Arizona for graduation, Ari insisted she didn't want to bother with the ceremony and hoped to stay in Salem for the summer. After Marlena left, Ariana claimed she wanted an early night, but Gabby panicked when her daughter disappeared. The teen had gone to Small Bar when Doug Williams caught her eye, and the pair quickly hit the sheets. In our next story today, breaking news, General Hospital casting shocker, the Young and Restless alumni Rory Gibson is the new Michael by Mara Levinsky. The role of Michael Corinthos on General Hospital, last played by Daytime Emmy winner Chad Duell, has been recast with Young and Restless alumni Rory Gibson. He will make his first appearance in the role on Friday, May the 23rd, and we are excited to welcome him to our show, a spokesman for the show confirmed in the news. The Road to Port Charles. On The Young and Restless, Gibson played Noah Newman, son of super couple Nick and Sharon, from 2021 to 2023. He assumed the role from Robert Adamson, who himself pitch hit as Michael on General Hospital several times in recent years when Jewel was unavailable. Speaking to TV Insider about his new daytime assignment, Gibson revealed that his casting was set in motion when he tried out for the role of Jocelyn's handler, Vaughn, when he went to Bryce Dufresne. After reading opposite Eden McCoy, the actor conversed with executive producer Frank Valenti, and I could kind of see the wheels turning as we were talking, Gibson reported. From there, his screen tested opposite several of the key actors in Michael's orbit, Kate Mancey, Caitlin McMullen, Steve Burton, and Laura Wright, beamed Gibson. About a week after that, they locked me in, and it's been a nice little journey ever since. Gibson's other daytime gig was likewise a recast, and while the actor has brushed up on Michael's history on the show, he avoided doing a deep dive into Duell's performance as the character. He explained, "You don't want to necessarily copy anything that anyone's done before, and I know Chad really owned this role, and he did incredible, incredible work. So I tried to stay away from watching too many old episodes. Instead, he did online research and read a summary of Michael's storyline provided to him by GH. Still, he admitted, when you're jumping in a recast, especially filling in for someone who's done it for so long and did such a great job, it can be kind of intimidating a thing to do." Duels Michael was last seen on the air in January when he was transported to Germany to undergo treatment after being gravely burned in a fire. When Michael comes back to Port Charles, Gibson previewed, he is at a huge crossroads in his life. He has a thirst for vengeance and justice. Translation? Look out, Willow and Drew. Gibson also voiced his appreciation for his new castmates, who have quickly helped him acclimate to the life at GH, and said that he's already bonded with his on-screen family members. Of his Port Charles father, Maurice Bernard, Gibson noted that he plays such an intense, intimidating guy on the show, and then behind the scenes, he's such a jokester and so lighthearted and fun and easy to be around. Same goes for Steve and Laura. Not only that, but he shares a real-life connection to one of his on-screen siblings, Dominic Zamprogna. Zamprogna tells Digest, he's a great kid, and funny enough, I know his uncle. He came up to me his first day and he goes, hey, you know my uncle. And I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about. And he goes, it's Kirk Ward. I was like, oh my God, I know Kirk. Kirk's a writer and producer and a great dude. Los Angeles is a small town sometimes. What are your thoughts on Gibson's imminent entrance to the Port Charles landscape? Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, General Hospital spoilers, they know what you did and they can prove it, by Diane Brunstein. A stellar evening. On Wednesday, May the 21st episode of General Hospital, the spoilers say that Anna executes her plan. What is the Port Charles police commissioner and former agent up to? Get ready for more action as the Nurses Ball performance begins. Hostess for the evening, Lucy Coe, announces, this will be a night you will never forget. Curtis probably wishes he could forget his conversation with Drew as he learned the congressman has been hypnotically blackmailing his wife. Curtis is trying to make sense of everything Drew said to him and tells Portia, this could destroy everything. Considering how quickly he ended his marriage to Jordan over a lie, Portia knows their relationship is at risk. Willow blew up her relationship with Michael, and now her sister, Jocelyn, has some choice words for Willow. You will never take Michael's children away from him, Josh tells the nurse. Willow has been receiving an earful from several members of her estranged husband's family. Drew was sworn to protect her. Will he be able to? Spilling secrets? During the special evening, Lulu watches Lois's every move. I'm right. I just need to confirm my suspicions, Lulu tells Cody. Will Lois make a misstep that gives Lulu the ammunition she's searching for to prove that Dante and Brooklyn are Gio's biological parents? Alexis tried very hard to keep from Christina the fact that she knows her daughter tried to kill Ava. But as she tends to do, Christina pushes and pushes, causing Alexis to reveal everything, leaving her stunned. They know what you did, and they can prove it, yells a frustrated Alexis. At the nurse's ball, Sonny and Ada Turner argue. Sonny loses patience with the woman as he warns her, no one's running me out of here. Share your predictions of what will happen next in the comments section. Let us know what you think. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, the bold and beautiful spoilers. Did you find a way to save me? By Diane Brunstein. Startling news. The action in this bold and beautiful spoilers preview for the week begins in the CEO's office at Forrester Creations. A jubilant Brooke points to her daughter and says to Ridge, Hope got rehired. Ridge, of course, wasn't consulted about this staffing decision that his co-CEO and daughter Steffi made. He manages to give a measured response. Really? He asks. Considering how angry he has been at Hope for leading his best friend Carter astray, will he try to block this magnanimous move of Steffi's? Elsewhere, Steffi and Daphne catch up, and the perfume developer has an announcement for the woman who brought her to town. I'm going back to Paris, insists Daphne. No, no, Daphne, please, Steffi responds, not wanting her good friend to leave when she really needs her friendship the most. Next, Carter and Hope finally talk face-to-face, and Hope has a realization. "You saw us," she says to Carter, as a flashback shows Liam intimately caressing Hope's face. "I overheard everything you said to him," a hurt Carter tells the woman who has ripped out her heart. He believes Hope still loves Liam and wants to be with her ex. Will she set him straight about why she and Liam were really sharing such a close moment? A painful update. Steffi, Liam, and Dr. Buckingham are with Finn in his office at the hospital. Grace has an update for Liam now that he has finally returned to the hospital to seek out information. "Did you find a way to save me?" Liam asks, trying to hang on to the shred of hope during this dire time in his life. "It could have serious impact on your quality of life," she tells him as Finn and Steffi look on in shock. What does this mean for him? Is there a chance Liam will get a miracle? Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, Beyond the Gates, Bad is Definitely Better, by Diane Brunstein. Dangerous Flirtation. The action in the Beyond the Gates spoilers preview for the week of May the 19th opens with a meeting between Vanessa and Joey at Offray Jean's. Vanessa says coyly to the casino owner, "What can I say? When I'm good, I'm great." Joey takes advantage of the setup line and asks, "And when you're bad, you're better." Feeling flirty, Vanessa smiles and says, "You tell me." Unfortunately for the unhappy wife, her husband walks in at that moment and takes note of her and the man to whom he owes a small fortune. Still not seeing Doug, Joey tells Vanessa, "Bad is definitely better, except in this case, bad could end up causing a lot of trouble for Doug and Vanessa's marriage." Prickly reunion? At the Dupree home, Anita entertains Tracy, a former member of their music group. "Don't you remember the first rule of being an articulate?" asks Anita as Vernon pours a cup of coffee. Anita leans in to tell her, "You don't flirt with your sister's man." "Always the gentleman." "Always the gentleman," Vernon interjects. "Do I have any say in this?" He asks the two women, and in unison, they turn to face him and say, "No." Trouble in paradise. At Ashley's home, which she shares with Derek, she is seen giving a hug to another man. "Thanks, Andre," she tells him. "You're a good friend," she adds, while it seems Derek is listening at the door. He has been very jealous of Andre in the past, and he and Ashley haven't been connecting as well as they were when they weren't living together. Will he walk in and interrupt something? Surprise, surprise. Elsewhere, Leslie opens the door to find Ted on the other side of it. "Teddy Boo, what took you so long?" she asks him before flashing him a wicked smile. Check it out for yourself. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, Days of Our Lives spoilers, They Are Giving Bo His Last Rites, by Diane Brunstein. Life and Death Struggles, the action in this Days of Our Lives spoilers video for the week opens with Xander badly beating up his half-brother Philip. Xander is watching Philip as he tries to crawl away on the floor, barely able to move or help himself. "Nothing you can say can save you," Xander says coldly as he walks toward him and kicks Philip even harder. A bloody Philip struggles simply to survive. Will rock Salem to its core? The scene changes to an emotional Sierra as she holds her father's hand. Bo is fading away fast. They are giving Bo his last rites, an unseen woman full of anguish can be heard saying. Hope enters the room and grabs the hand of the man she's loved most of her life as a voiceover says, "A new hope finally arrives." Hope smiles as she says, "Happy anniversary, Brady, 40 years. There's even a brief flash to that memorable wedding. Back in the present, Hope rests her head against his chest. But will it be enough? The voiceover asks, "What will it take?" A fight breaks out briefly with one person wearing what looks like a hazmat suit in a lab before it quickly cuts to Marlena in Kayla's office. "John and I have the rest of our lives together," she muses before the action cuts back to the brawl, where a fire has broken out in the lab. Those in hazmat suits are also wearing protective gas masks. To save a life, Kayla has to break the news to Marlena. There was an explosion, she tells her longtime friend. Back at the lab, people are fleeing as "Where's John?" can be heard among those crying out. Sean and Steve are there, worried about the others. At Kayla's office, an emotional Marlena asks, "And John?" In our next story today, the Young and Restless exclusive, Sharon Case on whether Sharon and Nick will reunite, by Chris Eads. Sharon and Phyllis' kidnapping ordeal on the Young and Restless may have changed them from enemies to frenemies, but the traumatic experience could also potentially transform Sharon's relationship with Nick. He went out of his way to rescue the woman and has continued to support his ex-wife as she recovers from the ordeal. Could this be the spark that reignites their romance? Whenever Sharon does go through some kind of difficulty or very trying time, Nick is certainly always there for her, and that does bring them closer, declares Sharon, who jokes, maybe Sharon will enlist him on the next adventure, and who knows, maybe they'll end up kidnapped together one time, and I think actually Nick and Sharon were trapped in a bank vault a long time ago, and they did get back together. Back in 2007, when being locked in a bank vault inspired the pair to confess their true feelings for each other, Sharon was in a relationship with Jack, while Nick was committed to Phyllis. Right now, they're both single, though neither appears ready to mingle quite yet. Whether they're officially together or not, Nick and Sharon are always kind of together anyway, the actress notes. Being divorced doesn't mean they're not together because they're part of each other's lives and their kids' lives, so they always have a scene together and share storylines. How they feel about each other is always there. What their relationship has been the last 10 years is still kind of the same. They're still in a relationship of sorts. While loyal Schick fans continue to wait and see if Sharon and Nick even ever reunite romantically, Case still believes there's plenty for them to enjoy. Waiting to officially get back together is fun, she teases, but in the meantime, they still have this relationship and always do. That relationship is always a part of them and a part of the show. So that's what's great. Would you like to see Sharon and Nick back together again as a couple? Or are they better off as friends? Share your thoughts with us in the comments section. In our next story today, an interview, a General Hospital exclusive, Dominic Zampronia breaks down Dante's angry eruption at Gio, by Mara Levinsky. After his teenage son Rocco wound up hospitalized due to alcohol poisoning on General Hospital, Dante unleashed his anger on Gio Palmieri, holding the young man responsible for Rocco's condition. The incident has driven a wedge between the fellow Bensonhurst transplants, whose families have long been intertwined. Of course, fans know what makes the rift an even bigger deal than either guy realizes. They are actually father and son, as Gio is the baby boy Brooklyn gave up 22 years ago after secretly giving birth to Dante's child. Soap Opera Digest checked in with Dominic Zampronia, Dante's portrayer, for his take on his character's furious outburst. Mad about you, Zampronia suspected that Dante lashing out at Gio would evoke a big reaction from fans, even though before he taped the scenes. When I got the material, I was like, wow, this is really heavy, he recalls. They actually came to me before and even said, there's some stuff coming up and it's going to be pretty harsh toward Gio. And when I read it, I was like, wow, yeah, it really is. It's not really fun to play that kind of stuff, he adds. It's sort of dysfunctional, you know. However, I tried to find the truth in it. For Zampronia, that meant understanding what was at the core of Dante's tirade. In the beginning of it, when Dante doesn't know if Rocco is going to make it, that's self-explanatory, he says. You're just going to sling whatever you sling if you're worried, and your child is going to survive something. And the other thing is the mental state he was in on the heels of losing Sam. His whole life has gotten turned upside down, and in that moment with Gio, it all just became too much for him. We all do work on ourselves, and none of us ever want to admit that we would ever lose our stuff, but it really, in real life, sometimes we do. There's a fork in the road, mentally, when you're in a terrible place or you're allowed your emotions to get the better of you. And when you're in that frame of mind, you don't always have the ability to take the right action. So, in the heat of the moment, Dante zeroed in on Gio as a target of his out-of-control emotions. Points at Zampronia, by that point, you're not self-regulating. You're already into the red zone. We all like to think that we have emotional intelligence in the worst moments of our lives, but I don't know that we do. That's the position I tried to put myself into to play this tough part, and I agree with people looking at it who say it was harsh and hard to listen and to watch, and Dante going off on Lois, that was pretty intense. But as an actor, you have to find ways to make it as real as possible, and if it's on the page, you want to deliver it. While this was far from Dante's proudest moment, Zampronia hopes fans could see that Dante was operating from a place of fear and emotional overwhelm. I hope that came through because that's what you try and layer it with to make it so that it's not just surface-level rage. Having to go off on Gio with such ferocity made an off-camera impact on the actors, he admits. No one wants to go to those places, he says. That's a pretty intense place to be, and I actually had a bit of a tough weekend, kind of decompressing after that week. It's not a nice place to go, and it's hard to come back from. I do a lot of work on meditation and self-regulation because we, as parents, and teaching our kids these things. So when you get scenes like that, and you're doing work on that kind of stuff, it almost makes it harder to go there, because in your real life, you're working on not going there. Present tense, on the episode that aired on the May 15th, Rocco took responsibility for his own actions and urged his dad to forgive Gio. Dante didn't entirely seem persuaded, with Zampronia chalks up to Gio's failure to call Dante immediately after discovering that Rocco has been drinking. The one thing that got me really able to go where I needed to go in those initial scenes is that the line where Dante says, "Do you know how many calls I have to take about parents who've lost kids this exact same way?" he recounts. That really hit home with me as a parent, and that made it very real for me as the actor playing the role. And I think that is sticking with Dante, the idea that, why didn't he call me? However long the tension between Gio and Dante continues, Zampronia appreciates how their conflict raises the stakes should the secret that they are father and son come to light. Nod Zampronia, it's definitely going to make that much more challenging to have a relationship when it does all come crashing down. Thank you for joining me today for the Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peake for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.